change his face. You put a woman's back against the wall.
Do it on my own, do it on my own.
What you think she gonna do?
Do it on my own.
I know what I'ma do.
Do it on my own, do it on my own. Do it on my own, do it on my own.
Do it on my own.
No, I don't.
Welcome back, ladies, to episode 5 now, part 2 of our podcast, Mommy and Wild Black, a podcast where we talk about health, spirituality, relationships, and self-worth. And we talk about the butterfly effects of all of these and how we get it done, what it means to Mommy Wild Black. And again, this is part 2, so we're picking up from last week. So again, we've got Tony, the owner of Tony by Tony, or co-owner, because you and your husband put the
founder
brains behind it, the founder, the brains behind it. Yeah. So we're going to really get into the meat of, you know, that. And this episode is going to be all about, you know, juggling motherhood with your job in conjunction with starting a business, you know, and doing it when you have a toddler. I mean, I think it's a little bit different if we had like teenagers, but we have toddlers and the nature of our business. So to recap, Tony is in medical sales. So she's in a sales role. I am also in a sales role. And if you know anything about sales roles, account execs, you got a monthly quota. And that quota is coming, whether you whatever you got going on, it don't matter. They don't care about no pandemic. They're not lowering no quotas, they're increasing quotas. You got to hit that number. And if you don't sell, you don't eat. And so it is its own layer of added stress in addition to, you know, I don't have a husband, so I don't have that. But, you know, in addition to being a mother, being a wife, you know, being a sister, being a daughter, you know, just all of those things, those many layers that we wear. So for me, my first question to you, or let me make a statement first and then I'll ask the question. In our society, right, Black women, we are taught to be nurturers. Mm-hmm. Like, we are taught to be nurturers. We are taught to be strong. We don't really show any emotion. We don't ask for help. We have to be resilient.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, because we are all of those things, people think we don't need help. Nobody asks, right. Do we need help? If you're all right, you know, there isn't any lightening of the load or giving you extra assistance or anything like that, because we juggle it, you know, and we make do with what we have. And we are master magicians, because we literally make nothing out of, I mean, we make something out of nothing. And so there's a gift and a curse in that, right? Because, you know, if we get it done, then the expectation is you don't need anything. You can just do it, you know, so we don't need to switch anything up. Alternatively, right, on the flip side, if you don't get it done, then it's like, okay, well, she can't juggle it because she's got a child, she's got this, she's got that, you know, she's not cut out for it, she's inept, you know, whatever it is you want to call it. So my question now to you is, how do you, you know, ballerina, if you will, through that space, right, of, you know, performing well, because you said you finished out number one in the entire company, you know, walking across that stage right after you had little Tony. How do you now be nimble and quick and pivot and, you know, do all of those things gracefully and still be a mother and navigate through those expectations of your employer?
Well, so it's a very complex, it's a loaded, it's a extended. How much time you got? No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, seriously, it's like, okay, so maybe I can just like break it down into parts. And then it's kind of like, you know, we expound off of those where it meets. But essentially, the role of a mother, you know, if you talk about any, and maybe this is the wrong word, but a misogynistic or, you know, a truly historical or even a biblical nature has always been that women are the carer, the nurturer, they're there, they're at home, and the husband is like the hunter, the provider. While, you know, sometimes in tandem we're gatherers, but for the most part, we are there, right? Almost like Mother Nature, Mother Earth, right? And so in a corporate perspective, you know, you're often looking at this very white collared, good old boys club type stature, you know, that's kind of like executive level, and you either fall within, they pull some up, but there's different dynamics of that. So when I was in this, you know, coming into me being number one and all that, I mean, by all means, like, there were so many more expectations of me. Number one, in order to even land a spot, you have to be above the norm of being Black and then of being a woman, and because they expect us to be weaker. So coming back to work, it's more or less like, oh yeah, you know, my wife, she stays at home. But the fact that you go to work, oh, that means that you can do all of the things that my wife does, and you can still do all of these expectations, and it must be roll off your back. Like, it doesn't bother or affect you. Two, you know, you have your own, like, thing with your children where you want to bond and, you know, you go on maternity leave. But the thing is like, you know, I had a whole company that I was building simultaneously while also having a child. And so our child was our inspiration and our muse for our business. So a lot of my maternity leave, like, I travel back and forth doing fittings. Like, my sister-in-law kept my son as young as like 3 or 4 weeks old. Like, why I travel to, like, hustle. Because again, as I stated last time, is I want to create this financial freedom for myself to where I can always be there. So I'm looking at this as a small sacrifice for now for a long term and long goal future. Word. But when I went back to work, I felt like I had given so much to this dream and then also had given so much to work, because it was like, I really wasn't ready to go back to work. I thought I was after 3 months, but, you know, when you think about the bonding you have with your child, with the breastfeeding, and, you know, your child doesn't even really begin to smile at you until they're like 3 or 4 months old. And I think it's really weird that in the U.S. we only get 12 weeks off. Some people have to go back as early as 4 or 8 weeks, but in other countries, they have a whole year off to be embalmed with their children.
That is true.
So to me, it feels like it's all structured to where they expect that, oh, either you're going to stay at home and be a stay-at-home mom, or if you want to work, this is just what you're going to have to deal with because, you know, you want to make a check or whatever. So there's no balance in between. And so oftentimes we're suppressing depression, feelings of, you know, failure. Like, when I couldn't feed and I wasn't able to nurse, I felt a lot of pressure from that. Like, you know, what is it about me that I can't produce the way that, right, a normal mother would?
Feeling inadequate.
Completely.
Defective even, you know, in some regards.
Yes, completely. And then you go back to work and then they're like putting you under these quotas and the stress. And then, you know, I remember driving on 2-hour drives and I'm pumping while I'm driving, because that's the only time that I have to, because I'm constantly on the road and my milk supply driving and just things like that. And you're like, man, you know, it wears on a person to where I just had to give up on it. And you ask yourself, like, well, would it have been different if I stayed home? It would have been. But it's just kind of like, no one asks you how you're doing. No one cares really what you're going through. And I remember even when I won number one in the whole country, the number 3 or 4 person that won was another white lady that I'm very, very good friends with. She had her son the same year. When they introduced her, it was, she's a super mom. She still did this after having a baby and going on maternity leave. She was able to be, you know, resilient and have the tenacity to do blah, 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 blah. Let's welcome such and such to the stage for blah. And then they called me and it was like, oh, she had a great year by far. She sold this amount of equipment while attaining this percentage. Welcome Erica Tony Glaze to the stage. You know, you're like, I had a baby too. And I'm number one at that. Put some respect on my name. It's very, very hard to be up here and be a mother, let alone a new mother. But to take that, and it was just like, they didn't care. Like, I had a baby, but it meant nothing to them. It was like, oh, the white woman who also was in a very similar role that didn't even hit the same ranks as you. Let's have sympathy and empathy for her, because, oh, this poor white lady that's working and had children while she was working. My God, that must have been so difficult for her. And I'm like, well, I had a whole company while being number one and doing this. And y'all don't even know about the company, but the fact that I know all the things that are going on behind the scenes and I'm not still getting the same respect, it's like, it puts it right back to where we talked about before in the expectations of us, and that they really have sometimes no, like, vision, or maybe they don't want to, or maybe they don't understand, like, what it must mean to be like us. And
see,
understand where we're coming from.
I kind of look at that like, it's not a, you don't understand what it's like to be as you don't care. Like there is, you understand what it is to be a mother. When you sat there, there's no way they didn't know that you had had a child. You know what I'm saying? Your number one performer. There's no way you, like, companies make it their business to know about that person, you know? And so you have elected, you've made a choice that that's not important, you know? And what you want to highlight is that, look, this lady, and this is me talking, this other lady, your Caucasian counterpart, colleague, that look, she gets an award, you know, she gets recognized, but let's put on there, like, you know, she it's like giving an excuse for the fact that she wasn't at number one because she had a child. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, okay, well, you know, she would have been number one, but for her having a child, but even though she had a child, she still rose up against adversity. And that's the other thing that society has never deem the things that Black women go through is just normal. You know, it's just, you know, you're still expected to perform. You lose a child, you do this, somebody dies, whatever. Yeah. We still expect you to show out. And that's because that's what we always do. Even when Stacey Abrams doesn't get anything, Stacey Abrams still shows out and is like, hey, we're going to get people to vote. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And so because we do that, it's the Black woman still is the most disrespected, underrepresented, and invisible person in this country.
Absolutely.
I do not care what they say. And I work with a company that is predominantly, you know, at least let me say this, because I don't know the full demographics of my company. I want to say that they are predominantly Caucasian, but I can't say that with, you know, with 100% certainty, but I will say my team, my individual region team is 1,000% the majority Caucasian. I am the only Black person on the team, and to be a woman. So it's like the spotlight is already on you. You already have to compete in a different kind of level. So like listening to you talk about that, my heart sort of goes out, you know, to you. Because you work so hard. I mean, like you said, you may mention in part one, you know, following, you know, running behind this carrot and scared sick. And now that you've gotten it, it's like, man, I got it. I was pregnant. You had three babies. You had a business. You had a newborn. You had a dog. Like you newly got a dog. Like all of these three things, you had three babies at one time. And you also have a husband and you have to, you know, be present in the marriage, you know, and to walk into your workplace and it's like, okay, you met these metrics, you did all these things, you sold this amount of equipment. And when I hear that, my mind just thinks like, you know, in you saying that, and I mean, I know you're giving us the gist of it, but there's nothing in there that says anything about Tony, about Erica.
Right.
So let me pause right here. So your name is Antonia Erica Glaze.
Right.
So I call you Tony, but everyone else calls you Erica.
Yes.
So when they're like, you know, Erica Glaze got this award, they're not saying anything about you as an individual like they did for your Caucasian colleague. They're just saying Erica sold this much of equipment, which is good for them.
Right.
She did this many sales, which is good for them. This many dollars, this much, whatever.
Oh, wow.
So it's like there's nothing about what you said.
It was not personal.
That said anything about you, who you are as a person, who, you know, just any of that. And that just goes to show. And that's why I say, like, you are on the right track to be like, you know, I am trying to create a life for my family,
yep,
where I can always be present. But in creating that life for our families, we have to create something where we disconnect. We will never get recognized. We will never get the accolades that we should be getting or get the same type of credit, equal or anything like that, pay or anything, as long as we are working for someone else, as long as we are reporting to somebody else, as long as we are building up someone else's brand.
Yep.
So you know, I am sorry that happened to you. That is unfortunate. That just bothers me to just hear that. Like, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to give birth. It's not easy to go pumping. You had a child that wasn't latching. You were feeling, you know, inadequate
and
about yourself.
And I had a C-section.
I had a C-section too.
Yeah. So it was like, I was a C-section, you know, so that got, you know, it was like, okay, I went into this and then my stomach's breached and it just wouldn't turn. I went through like what was called, I think they call it like an ECV or EV or something like a phallic something where they manually tried to turn the baby like in your belly. And it was so
like,
painful.
Is that like, I'm gonna have to look that up because I'm wondering how maybe similar or different that is than placenta previa, because I had placenta previa. And I had to have a C-section. And my understanding was that he was not, you know, in position to come out head first.
Okay.
So
was he sideways?
No, he was up and he was stuck. They ended up cutting his head in two sides. So like, if you look at the side of Bam's face,
oh my God,
you'll see he has two cuts here. He has a cut in the back of his head, still there. You know, if I didn't tell you, but I mean, I see it all the time because my child. Like I know, you know, but he was stuck. So I'm gonna have to look that up. I'm curious to see, you know.
Yeah, I think the terminology or the like, it's either ECV or EV, and basically what it means is like if a baby is breached, they bring in like it's somebody from, I don't know if it's like a midwife or whatever in the hospital, and they manually like they gel your stomach up like they would for an ultrasound, and they manually try to turn the baby in its natural habitat within your stomach.
Mm.
Well, it's painful as hell. I will not lie to you. And, you know, if you have a stubborn, strong-willed child like me, he was planting feet and planting hands and refusing to turn. And it actually, like, just ended up to me being almost like, well, I was about to pass out and be like, I can't do this. Like, nope, too painful. Just leave him. Just let's make sure that we got my date scheduled to just cut him out, right? And when they went through that, like, I guess it was probably traumatic for him too, being, you know, from the exterior, from a baby inside and the exterior, trying to move and touch him around. Cause you know, I don't touch him that deep, you know, cause they literally try to cup their hands under the body from the exterior of your stomach. So like through the sac and like all that stuff. So, I actually ended up going, I wasn't in labor, but I ended up having to have like, not necessarily, almost like an emergency C-section, probably less than 17 hours after that. Because the next morning I woke up and I was like, oh, I think I'm leaking. And, you know, we went and it's like, okay, you're having a baby today. So, you know, you go through like just different stuff or like whatever with the kids. And it's very like trying and, you know, whatever. But I'm proud of everything that I've been through. But there were so many like positives and, you know, negatives and like so many times where I had failures. So I was just like, oh, I didn't do the right thing. Or, you know what, like, why is this happening to me? But that's why I said like prior to me having this, you know, accolade meant this, but it meant everything to me to walk across the stage knowing I did it while I was pregnant and after I had a child. Nobody could take that away from me. I don't care what recognition they gave, how unpersonable it was, what they said about me or whatever. I know for me what it took for me to acquire that, and that will always be my most esteemed award besides the title of mom.
Oh, that's so sweet. I feel the same way. Only my child don't call me mom. He called me Ami.
Oh,
Ami. A-H. And you know, with his, he's catching up with speech. I should correct him so he can say mommy, but I'm like, nah, I'm Ami.
Yeah.
Don't correct my child. Leave it like that.
Yeah.
I'll start telling him that in speech. So, all right. So, I want to talk about the brand Tony by Tony.
Okay.
So, we have very similar backgrounds. Like, you know, I used to play with dolls. I played with dolls for the longest time. My dolls had jobs. My dolls was all kind of stuff. I made the clothes for my dolls.
Oh.
So, I sewed the clothes together, everything. And we're both in sales. Mm-hmm. We both have toddlers. We both have boys.
Boys, yep.
Enough said there. And are entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your world, it's a bit more stressful than mine. Like my business is I prep students for the bar exam. You and my specialty is students that have previously failed. The majority of my students are 90 to 95% of students who previously failed the bar on multiple occasions.
Wow.
For you, your business is closed. Mm-hmm. And I am a lover of Shark Tank. Damon John is my favorite shark. Mr. Wonderful is second. A lot of people don't like him, but I love him. Mark Cuban, I love Mark Cuban as well. And so that being said, I met Damon John at the Super Bowl when the Super Bowl was in Arizona, because I was on the Super Bowl committee. And we talked like just about, you know, that briefly. And doing clothes is hard.
Very.
And you have it looks easy when I see what you do. Like, girl. You know, I love my pajamas. I said that then on a video, and here it is. It is, you know, almost the end of March, and we still put on those pajamas. And when that freeze came, I put on those pajamas because it was crazy because they're not fleece, but they still like keep you warm. Exactly. Yep. And you can still move around. So I was like, I love that. And then bless you guys, bless you. And then I've bought other things from you. And so my son had an evaluation last Friday, and we showed up to the evaluation with the mother and son sweatshirts on. And so they was asking us about the sweatshirts, and which I love. And so so first, let's just tell, like, I know what Tony by Tony is, right. But let's tell everybody what Tony by Tony is, you know, what made you start that business, company, et cetera.
So in actuality, like I said, I'm a planner. I had like a bit of a mood board for my pregnancy and everything that I expected of it. So I'm like, okay, I'm a daughter, I've got sisters, I've got aunties, and I've got girl cousins. We are a girl family. So it's obvious that I'm going to have a girl. So you go on and I'm like, I couldn't imagine anything more than me and my girl being coordinated, dressing alike, having like skirts and all this other kind of stuff. So I started putting all this stuff together. And then when we had our gender reveal and I saw that blue confetti, I about passed out. I'm not even gonna lie. I was like, me? What a boy. Like, what is this? Like, how am I gonna be a boy mom? Like, you know, I'm girly. And like I said before, like the self-care of, you know, getting your hair done all the time, your nails, like that was me, you know? So I'm like, well, how am I gonna split that with the fact that I'm trying to be, you know, at least cute and feminine with the fact that I have a little boy that's gonna wanna be dirty and kick around and, you know, whatever. So after digesting that, I said, okay, it's cool. You know, I'm sure they got something like this for moms, but I did.
I did.
If you ever saw my gender reveal video, we had to take it twice because the first one was disappointment followed by having to do it again and act happy. And I was just like, what is this? You know? And then eventually I was like, you know what? God gives you what you need, not what you want.
Have you ever heard, blessed is the woman whose womb first bears a son?
No, I have not heard that.
So let me tell you. When I found out, I actually wanted to go initially the whole pregnancy and not know what I was having. I didn't want to do a baby shower. I just wanted all gift cards.
Really?
I wanted to find out in the room. And it just kept messing with me. Everybody thought I was having a boy, and I thought I was having a girl. I think I probably wanted a girl because... Go get your cup, baby. I'll get you one. My thing was, I wanted a girl with big, fat legs. And I was like, I mean, I wanted the fat legs. I didn't care what her face looked like or nothing like that. And then one day I was like, let's just, you know, see what the gender is. And my child's father and I. Where's your cup? Go get your cup. Wherever you put it. And then I'll fill it for you. Go get it. So I subsequently looked. And we saw that we were having a boy, and my child's father jumped up and down. He was so excited he was having a boy. And girl, I cried. And I said all that to say this, that I talked to one of my friends, and they mentioned to me, blessed is the woman whose womb first bears a son. And I never forgot that. And after that, I immediately leaned in and appreciated or accepted, you know, the fact that I was having a son and the blessings that would be upon my life. Like, God obviously saw fit and saw something right about me, that he gifted me a son as my first child. So that's funny you say you had to redo the gender reveal video because you was like hella disappointed.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's just like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, no, I can't have a boy. God forbid I have a boy. It's nothing like that, but it's just like, you know, as a person that's a planner and somebody that's like thinking like, oh, okay, yes, I can't wait. It's me and my daughter can like, you know, do our hair alike, and I give them makeup tips and, you know, like boyfriend advice. And, you know, that's how I was thinking of it, but apparently I was thinking of it the wrong way. And it was more or less like thinking about, okay, what were you missing as a little girl?
my dad wasn't very present. You know, it was like what I was missing is something that I can instill in this small child of a human that's going to be a boy, one day a man, to be like, you need to be this type of man. You know, look for this in a woman. So, you know, it's like the flip side of going at things. But Tony by Tony was always like, okay, when I went and I looked and I'm like, yeah, I think it's going to, I'm going to have a daughter. And then I found out I was having a son. I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I can pivot. I'm sure there's something out there for moms and boys. And I got online. I'm like, okay, so we're going to have Adidas tracksuits on together. We're going to be kicking it in our Nike Air Max together. We're going to be wearing matching baseball jerseys. And I was like, man, that's just not what's up. Like, why is there not something like that for our moms with sons? And I feel like extensive research, I looked on Pinterest, and there were moms doing it, but they were doing it in their own way. And you could tell that they were, you know, not necessarily customizing, but going that extra mile to find things. And that's a lot of work, right? So I said, it shouldn't be that hard for us. I'm going to make something that's inclusive. And that's how it started. It was a mommy and son brand. That's why it was called Tony by Tony. But really, it was like Tony by Tony. Mom and child, and making it inclusive for moms with all types of children.
Nice. So you said something about mothers just kept sort of doing it on their own. And I just want to say that. So I was in Chipotle maybe about 2 months ago, and this black lady was behind me. I was in there with Bam. We were in line. This black lady was behind us, and she says, oh my gosh, you look so cute. She was just like, where'd you guys get your matching shirts from? And so I was like, oh, Oshkosh. And she was like, I didn't know Oshkosh made matching clothes for adults and children. I said, they don't. I was like, this is the biggest boys size shirt that I bought. And I'm matching with my child. So 100% I agree. And I think that's one of the things that really drew me to the brand. Well, what first drew me to the brand was the customer service. Customer service, A1, a whole nother topic for a different, you know, a different time. But 1,000% A1, couldn't email, you know, like just everything. I mean, the pajamas. I mean, even when I talked to you about my friend, you knew exactly who I was talking about, yep. The one person. So it's just like, you know, just impeccable customer service about your word. And just that was the first thing that drew me in. I don't care. I want to support black owned businesses, but I like my money, and separate me from my money is personal.
Yeah.
And I will give my money to a white person real fast if I'm not getting what I want. You know right. What I'm saying? In terms of customer service, it's just like, look, you know, people might feel whatever kind of way they want to about buying, you know, from non-black owned businesses, but I could go to a black owned business and try to buy a TV from them, or I could go to Best Buy and get what I want and walk out and be done with it.
Right.
And I'm going to try to support you, but if I'm not getting what I want, then I'm 1,000% going to Best Buy.
Right.
And so, that being said, that was the thing that drew me there. But the ability to be able to match with my child, like, yes. It's, you know, you're not lying. Like, you got to match with jerseys or sneakers. And girl, before my child, girl wore heels everywhere all the time.
Oh, you too?
Heels, hello. A sneaker. Girl, man, I part. Didn't own a sneaker. My first pair of shoes that wasn't heels was some Sperry boat shoes. And I wore them boat shoes out. Then I eventually got a pair of Converse, and then I got bit by the Jordan bug. And now I'm a Jordan 13 girl. I buy a 13 real fast or retro. So that being said, so now that's cool because I get to match sneakers with my son. But and he is a sneakerhead. That's probably one of my favorite parts, walking in the mall, walking in a House of Hoops, a Shoe Palace, and just let him go wherever his mind goes. And he just is in awe looking around at sneakers.
Yeah.
But being able to match, like, you know, wanting to be able to do that. And that's one of the things that drew me to your brand. It was very different. But the main thing was that y'all do it with, like, style. Like, it's like, it's not dated. Like, it's current. It's fashionable. I'm just like, it's effortless. When I saw that banner picture of you and Corey and little Tony, and you just have on a simple, you know, mother, father, son shirts, and it's just against the black, and then, you know, you have on your hat, and it just, I'm just like,
damn, that looks hella clean.
Thank you.
Hella simple, but hella clean and coordinated and everything. So, so really what you're saying is the brand started out or was birthed from the fact that you couldn't find anything to match with your son.
Right. It was from me not being able to match with my son. And then, you know, as I started to think more into it, and as we started to talk to, you know, other families, I unraveled a whole other layer to it. This is my first kid, and all I can think about is just this one son, right? But at the same token, if I had a daughter, right, what would be the story if I had a daughter and a son? What would it look like if my husband were to become a girl dad? You know what I mean? And so it opened up a new realm of questioning. And so we had a focus group, and the focus group was just straight up like, look, you know, we don't need another mommy and me brand. We can throw a stone's throw and go on Google and find that anywhere, even though it's mostly for mommies with daughters. But what we need more of are family brands. Okay, yes, we can go to Old Navy and we can shop for the family. We can go to department stores, Macy's, Dillard's, you know, Nordstrom's, wherever we can shop for the family. But for us to have a centrified, unified look, it's not happening, but seasonally, and it's definitely not happening very stylishly. And so they're like, we want what you have, a stylish brand, but not just for a mother and son. We want it for everybody. If you could take a celebrity or a rapper or whomever and do almost like a, you know, mommy, I shrunk the kids kind of thing on them and bring it down to a child's level to where it's like, okay, the child is stylish. The dad looks cool and stylish. It's not corny. It's not cheesy. It's something we want to wear. That would be what we're looking for, because there's nothing like that. And so when you think about the core of family, family unification is bonding. It's family centricity. It's like when you think about a family reunion and everybody got on the same t-shirt that says such a, you know, like, it's more like, hey, the gang is here. We're here together. Pay attention to us. Like, not that you are asking for attention, but you're proud to say that this is my family, or, you know, this is the extension of me. And I think every person, whether they want to coordinate or mash or they don't want to do it at all. Okay, the kids is running, y'all. The kids is running. You know, whether you want to do that at all, at the core of it, it's still the same feeling of togetherness and just like love that's at the center of a family. And that's what we want to build upon, and making people recognize that when you love your family and when you want to like you love sharing stuff together. Like, that's why when people go on cruises, boat trips, or, you know, whatever the case may be, the coordination part is always central to that.
Yeah,
it's evident. And so it's building upon that in a way to where it's like, it's cool. It's like, you know, we're our own individual person, and this is how we express ourselves. But together, we become this. It's one centrified unit.
Okay, so I want to ask you, how do you juggle medical sales, mommying, and Tony by Tony? And yeah, so first I want to know, how do you juggle those three?
Yeah.
And then I have a follow-up question.
Okay. It is it's very, very, very difficult, right? Because there's so many layovers. It's like, as a mom, it's not like a finite period of time. Even for like sales, you might have like a 9-to-5, but sometimes it might require like other like periods. But there's downtimes and there's like, you know, busy times. And when you're running a business, it's kind of similar too. Like, you know, when there's certain things that have to be done. And, you know, when there's a development period, when there's a research period, when there's an execution period, and when then there's a high period or a low period, right? And so I'm constantly, it's like juggling all at the same time. Sometimes I may drop a ball in mommy. Sometimes I may drop a ball at work. Sometimes I may drop a ball with, you know, the business. It's going to happen. Like, you just don't know where that ball is going to drop, and you need to be able to pick that ball up and throw it back in and try to make the impact of dropping it as minuscule as possible.
So to that point, was there ever a period where you were just dropping balls? Like, because right now we're talking about three things we talked about, like your job, mommy, and Tony by Tony. But there's also that piece, right? You still got to take care of the house. You still have a husband.
you know, you still are a wife. There are certain expectations, not in a demeaning kind of way, but there are certain things, like, you know, a lot of times people can lose themselves or lose their marriage in the fact that you've had a child with all of these things going on. So, you know, to that point, you said that you drop a ball and it's about throwing that ball back in. And it sounds like that was, you know, easy for you, but did you ever experience a time where, you know, it was, you felt, you know, less than, or you felt like you were failing? And then if you did ever feel that, what was the shift? Like, what did you tell yourself mentally? It was just like, okay, now when I drop a ball, I don't feel the same way that I felt when I first dropped the ball. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There was a period, and I have to say the high peak of that was like during our Mother's Day of 2020. This is the first time that our business really just had like this like huge surge of business. And, you know, you go from somebody that is like conceptualizing, okay, yeah, I'm building this business, to, oh, okay, yeah, I'm cool with, you know, 5 sales, say a week, to, all right, it would be so cool to even have like 5 sales a day. And then all of a sudden you like jump to 50 sales a day and you're like, okay, everything around you seems to like fall. So it sounds like, oh yeah, that's great. But at the same token, it was like, we had just launched our COVID antibody test for my job. And it was like, it was hands down the most complicated product launch that we've ever had, because it was such an important test. Like, everybody was experienced COVID. Everybody wanted to come out of lockdown. And so I'm simultaneously working on launching this huge test at work while also going through an up in surge of managing, you know, my business. And then along with all of that, where's the extra time to be mom? So there was a lot of times where, especially during this period, we stayed up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, packing orders, folding t-shirts, making sure that we were like sending out the right product. But at the same token, that crossed over, because when I go to sleep at 3 here, my phone's already ringing at 7 o'clock for my job. Like, hey, has the test launch? Can I get the CPT codes, the tracking number, like whatever, you know, et cetera. And then at the same token, your son is on a schedule too. And he's waking up at 6:30, 7 o'clock. And your husband's not on the same schedule as you either. So it's like, where do you sleep? And how do you fill all these buckets? So, you know, of course you're going to drop the ball in different realms. And it's kind of like, you know, in the aftermath of it, like in that point of it, oh my God, the level of stress, like I can't even begin, because it's like, you want to do well in all of them. You have to be good at your job, because that's what pays the bills. And you have a track record, you have a reputation, you know, you think of your resume and all of that. But that's also what affords you the extra luxury to fall back on in the event that your dream, your baby, and like whatever doesn't launch in the way that you want. So you know that you've got things that you have to put into it before you have to put into it before you see outcome. Mm-hmm. And so that allows me to be the fallback without really saying like, oh, I just got to rely on my husband or, you know, whatever, because again, I'm independent. And then the mommy end is like, but you don't want to make your child suffer either by you not being present, and your relationship by not being present. I heard it all. It's like, my son would be upset with me because he didn't feel like he was getting enough attention. My husband would be like, you know what? All y'all do is on your computer. And you're like, well, dang, which one is the most important? Yes, being a wife, being a mom. But in the long term, it could be, I'm doing the same thing, but for somebody else. So let me do this now, make the small bump. And I promise you, it's going to mean something so much bigger much later on when I get this going.
So what I hear when you say that is that it's not easy. Like, there's not even a routine.
You can't have it all.
It's shifting. You never have it all.
Say that piece again.
Say it again so everybody can hear that.
You cannot have it all. You can have it all in shifts, or you can have it in parts, but you cannot have it all at the same time. Ever. Because it's not enough hours in the day. It's not enough days in a week. It's not enough weeks in a month. It's not that many months in a year for you too. You know what I mean? So time is going to pass you. And so, not to cut you off, I'm sorry, because I did just jump back in there, but you can't. You absolutely can't. It's like you take pieces, and it's like whatever's more demanding that day is what you apply the 8 hours of your day to. Whatever's the least demanding is what you give your extracurriculars, bars, you know, residual time to. And unfortunately, depending on the demands of the day, any of them can fall into that bucket. Family, relationship, your job, or your business. It just depends on what day it is and what's happening that day. You just learn to juggle it. And that's what I meant by juggling and the balls dropping.
So question, do you ever set out a schedule? Like, I know people will, especially like your moguls, you know, when you think about your Damon Johns, Mark Cubans, things like that, when you listen to those people, Marcos Lemonas, things like, they say that what they do is that night they think about all the things that they've got to get done, they plan for the next day,
right,
you know, and do all of that. For me, I have learned that doing, so for me, making that list only made me feel inadequate. Like I was just like, okay, the next day the list comes, it's time to start marking stuff off, and you see you got a lot more stuff on the list than what you marked off, because the day is always shifting. You know, you get ready to drop a child off and you think, okay, I'm good to go. I'm on West Park Toll. I'm about to get it popping. And they're like, oh no, your child got a fever. You got to get off. Mm-hmm. You need to come back and pick up your child.
Oh,
and
God,
you need, and now you got to stay home with that child. And your child now wants to be up under you because they're not feeling good. So my question to you is, do you plan out your day? Like, or do you just sort of go with the flow? Like, is it organic? Like, whatever it is, I know the things, you know, high level that I need to get done, and I just do what I can do.
Okay, I'm going to take that question. I'm going to kick it right back to you in this way. First person you mentioned, Damon Dash,
mm-hmm,
a man. Who was the second person? Mark Cuban,
true
a man.
Story.
You got another one?
True
probably
story.
A man, too.
A man, Marcus Lemonis.
Period. Yeah,
true story, true story.
So you know, they can
that's
make
real,
a list.
That's real.
They can
that's
make
real.
That list. And that they is, will actually make that list because
real.
Guess what? Whatever falls off of that list, they wipe the mom or whoever's going to take care of it.
Word.
That's us.
Word.
So
I can
we
that.
Are the list and we are the runner up to the list. We are
word.
The best every
percent.
Time. So you have to think about,
percent.
Yes, you think about all these different things that you want to do. And you might have this list, but then there's all these other variables. Guess who's normally home with the kid when he's sick? Mom. Guess who's normally the one to administer the medicine when the kid is sick? Mom. Guess who's normally school doing the school shopping, the school clothes shopping? And it's not to say that dads are inadequate and they're not present and they're not there, because Corey's a, you know, he's there for a lot of that. But at the same token, there's just stuff they're not gonna do. Like when it comes to Christmas presents and making sure that all the family members and the extended nieces and nephews get their gifts and they get what they want, mama is doing that. When all the random friends from daycare have a birthday party and they're like, oh yeah, we want mom to be there. You there. Dad normally isn't, and you got to be the one to go find a birthday present for kids you don't know and sorry possibly may not even care about. Like, it's just somebody from their classroom that you may have never ever met. It's like, I want my child to have that ability to bond with this kid, like, because they're not at an age at 3 and 4, they're not at an age where they can tell you why they like their friend or why they bond or tell you something important about their kid. But it's important to them because they have their relationship, and so therefore as the mom, it's important to you too. So at the end of the day, yep, it's like all I heard was men, and that's exactly what I said beforehand with my job. Getting that accolade meant everything to me because it's a boys club in the corporate world typically, and I'm not to say that there's not women in leadership, it is very few and far, and when they are, they're always expected to act like men or be like men.
Mm-hmm.
And take away all of the other womanly, motherly. It's not to say that we can't, but they don't get no respect for that.
You know what? Touche, sis. Touche. I think my mind initially went when
so
I
no, I don't
those.
Have a schedule. I fly by the seat of my pants.
Look.
Day to day. You seen how the day was.
Look, what I think I see for hanging on by, you know, hanging on a wing like your eyeline or something like that. But I think my mind went to, you know, entrepreneurs, moguls,
yeah,
people who get it done. And just the way that they set up their days and things like that. But a good call out on the fact that those are meant, you know, they're never carrying all of the burden. They have, you know, wives that are carrying that, significant others, you know, female counterparts that are carrying that. It's funny you say that because when I would travel for work, my child's father is present, but he like holding me, like it was like, you don't never go buy pull-ups. So you don't know
nope.
what size pull-up he
oh
needs.
My God.
Like you don't
yeah.
know what size clothes he wears. You call him, it's like, okay, what kind of pull-up can he have? Because my child has sensitive skin, so he
yeah.
can't wear everything. He'll get a rash like nothing, and not you gotta go to a pediatrician. You gotta get this medicated stuff because you can't just
oh gosh,
put something
yeah.
on. So it's just
yeah.
like, it's like, oh my gosh, bruh. Like, I gotta do everything.
Yeah.
And so, but you know,
Yeah, so I 1,000% respect that and receive that.
And, you know, I think it's good too, even like when prominent women, so it doesn't just have to be like, you know, men that are moguls, like whatever, because there are a few women, there are women that are moguls also, and they balance a lot of acts because they come from the same background that we do too, but they have now acquired and achieved a certain level of success where they can afford the luxuries of having more help. So if you need a nanny, if you are suffering in tutoring a child, if you are suffering and like, there's a, like, not to say that you don't want to be there or that you can't be there, but if you have to split your time, because of course it's always going to default to you, you can appoint other people that you feel, and it's always going to be, listen, because it's not cheap to get good help, especially if you want another you. It's, nobody can ever be you, but if you want somebody pretty close, you're going to have to like pull out that good old Black American Express card to level up. You know what I mean? So it's not to say that they don't still have those same things, but you know, there are, it's just a lot of it is sometimes I'll be like, man, it'd be so cool. You know, I take my kid to daycare and all this type of stuff and I drop them off and I would love to be with them all day. But if I'm with them all day, there's so many things that I can't do that I do like at the same time. Like you work in sales and you have autonomy. So if it's a slow day and you need to go, I don't know, pay a light bill, or you need to go return something to Target, you know, like you can do that when normal people have to do it on Saturday or Sunday, you know? So
exactly.
I am completely acknowledging of those certain luxuries, but everything doesn't fall in a normal Monday through Friday, you know, 7 to 6 or whatever time of daycare it is. And some people go, you know, from school to like 8 o'clock to 3. So
let's talk about, you have your business, Tony by Tony, again, plug Tony by Tony. If you haven't been on the website, definitely go visit it. That's www.toni by B like Bravo Y TONY.com. So TonyByTony.com. Let's talk about, you know, managing the like social media. So I want to say one thing, you know, we both connected by way of Aconundrum, right? Mm-hmm. Alquincia, love her to death.
Me too. 1,000%
respect her. Yep. Appreciate her hustle, everything that she does for the culture, the community. She gives back with no intentions. And so are seeking anything in return. I'll say that. And so I'm very, very, very grateful for to have connected with her and have connected with like-minded women such as yourself. But one thing about that is I look at Aconundrum and I look at, you know, I'm starting a business and I'm like, man, she puts out content like, and I mean, I followed Aconundrum back in the day when Aconundrum used to put out content that was not so, you know, it was colorful, just a different kind of, you know, she wasn't with it.
She's old. Yeah.
And so that being said, she completely shifted. And I look at, you know, she puts out content all the time.
Rich content.
And exactly. And I'm always wondering what's going on. Come here. Marcel, come here. She's always putting out content and
consistently.
Yeah,
too.
And that's the part that I'm getting at. Yeah. Consistently. And I know that she has a teenage daughter who is also an entrepreneur in her own right. Shout out to just raising dope Black kids, especially Black queens, Black kings.
Yep.
But she always puts out content. And every time I see Aconundrum, I appreciate the gifts in it. But then I'm also like, oh.
How?
Like, yeah, I'm like, I mean, maybe you got a teenage daughter, but I'm just like, she got a husband and stuff. And I'm like, I can't find the time to put out content like that. Like, I'm struggling. So I want to know, how do you navigate putting out content for your business and putting it out consistently, right? You know, Instagram is all about algorithms, how much you post, whether people save the posts, et cetera. But are you like, do you hire somebody to do that for you or just, you know, how are you juggling that? Are you doing it all yourself?
Yeah, it's rough, sis. Like, you know, I think in the beginning, and that's kind of where I maybe almost kind of like overloaded, overwhelmed, almost burnt myself out in the sense that everybody says you have to do everything yourself as an entrepreneur. You have to completely, you know, understand every facet of your business. And so when it comes to content and content creation, all of that is just like, it's such a, God, I don't even know how to call it, but you know, people understand like certain things that people want to see. They understand their audience. They understand what kind of stuff they want to read. And, you know, and I think I have a good grasp of that also, but it's the time to make it. And so I know I have, like you said, because we have such close relationships with that conundrum. I have talked to her. She's been able to call me even at 12 o'clock at night. Like, you know, we can be like, she's like, hey, you up? And I'm like, okay, she's an hour ahead of me. So it's like 1 o'clock there. And I'm like, well, how are you doing? And she'll be like, oh, you know, I'm basically running off of fumes. You know, like I haven't talked to, you know, I haven't really went to sleep, you know, but had like a couple of hours. And so I know she works her absolute ass off, to say the least, and what she does. The only difference is that her daytime job is still her business as it is everything else. So everything she spends her time on is ultimately something she's passionate about. And I wish I had that luxury of doing the same. You know, when you're still punching the clock and you still are reporting to someone else, you have to delegate your days a certain particular type of way. It's not meaning that it's any easier or whatever, but I would love if I could dedicate more time to it. But at the same token, I don't even think I even understand, because she's a techie too. Like, she's very techie. Like, I've bought my app from her, which I need to update, because, you know, it's like I don't never be on top of myself. I'm always all over the place with so many fires and so many buckets that I can never get my stuff together the way I need to. But sometimes you need help. I mean, if you understand that it's going to take you a little while longer to quit your day job, you're going to have to appoint people that are specialized in things that you lack, or in the time consuming things that you're not a specialist in, that you can afford to pay others for, and then let your talent shine in the things that you're strong in. And in the beginning, when there's no money, it's hard to say that, because it's like, all right, I really need help with everything. But after you've done it for a while, you kind of start to say, okay, it's time I step back on, say, learning how to do Facebook marketing and ads and stuff like that. Like you and I discussed, like, I did it last year. Cool. That's how I figured out there was truly a need to this, you know, demographic of a gap and a niche, you know, product that needs to be offered that's not there. Okay, people bought it. There is a need. But now, how do I go back after this audience? What is that said audience? How do I create content just for that? And just having the time to think about and try to formulate and accumulate, it's difficult. So I don't post consistently. I don't have a mood board. When you go to mine, you see people with these beautiful, like, you know, tiles of like whatever. Listen, like whatever is what is repostable, or what I feel that day in the moment or within the hour is what gets posted.
Look, raw and authentic. I always say that about myself. And that's where I kind of struggle. Let me retry. I don't want to say struggle, because if I say I struggle, then I will struggle. So switching my words. That's where there is, I'm at a crossroads in my mind, because for me, you know, you want to have that polished thing, but the reality is, and what I appreciate more is the authenticity. Like, for someone listening to this podcast, they're probably going to be like, you know, oh my gosh, it's kids talking all over. It's all this other kind of stuff going on or whatever. But I used to rap. I used to go in the booth, and I never wanted to record the verse again. Like, I'm not spitting the verse again. I spit it one time. That's what it is. So whatever I'm feeling at that moment, that's what's going to come across in the verse. I'm not going to redo it again. And so for me, I believe in being the most authentic version of yourself, the rawest version of yourself. And when I listen to podcasts, they got hundreds of podcasts out there about mommies doing different things, you know, and black mothers, mothers of color. Yeah. But the authenticity, like, it's these women are probably meeting up on one day, sometime out of the week or out of the weekend, and they're recording multiple episodes at one time. Mm. So you got to have somebody to watch your child. I live in a city where on my maternal side of my family, I have a cousin that lives in Missouri City, and the next closest family members are in Beaumont, Texas. So I don't have the luxury of being like, okay, somebody can watch my child for me to be able to do that. And even if I did have it, I don't know that I would want that. I think it's the part that you appreciate the most is the authenticity. Like, we are always momming. There's no days off. There's no time to do anything. Even when you really, like,
it never fails. Even when you say, okay, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to do this for me, something comes up. Somebody gets sick. Something else happens with the house. Something happens with your business. Something happens with your full-time job. And now you have to be present. And so I want that crossroads is where I want to just, I don't want to have to be doing the work. Like, it's work to have a mood board. It's work to do this. It's contracting, it's selling all this other stuff. I'm just like, no, let me be authentic. Look, today I didn't feel like getting dressed.
Yep.
On my personal page, I'm like, look, I'm getting on here with a scarf. I'm not taking off my scarf. I ain't doing that with my eyebrows. I don't feel like being bothered. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you what it is. You can hear it, don't hear it, I don't care. But going through those limbs, and to me, that's just an extra another thing on the plate of a mother.
Yep.
to try to be different. So despite all the things that went on today, I appreciate the beauty in everything, even down to God covering you and little Tony during the accident, because this is like real life. We did not plan this, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. And we're not in control of any of those things. So I wanted to just really sit down and talk with you. I wanted to just pick your brain about, you know, your business, your brand.
Thank you.
Being able to juggle that with motherhood and things like that. So we're coming up on the end of this segment. So I want to ask you one final question. And this is more tied to, and maybe two more questions, tied to, you know, as it relates to Corey. So Corey's your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I want to ask is, how have you been able to maintain your marriage in the midst of all of these things? And I'm sure it's not easy, but I want to know, and there's some women out there that are trying to juggle it. They may feel like they're drowning. Yeah. And you know what that looks like.
So no easy answer to this. And I'm sure that there are some romantics that are listening to it, like, oh, you know, it was just blissful and wonderful from end to middle and, you know, whatever else. But you know, it's kind of like you said before, like with those 50-year like relationships, it's like everybody being all in. And it's like understanding that there are going to be points and challenges where, yeah, we might not be as close as others. And sometimes, you know what, you may get on my nerves, to be quite honest, because when you think about the dynamics of a household and raising a child, it really requires so much. If it's one person, it's like, you know, people do it. My mom did it, like whatever. But a lot of those things trickle and run over to having to have other like pockets of energy that just run into making this one like responsibility so cohesive. So as far as, you know, with us, it's like, I think that we have weathered the storm in a way that we have an understanding to where I have always been an entrepreneur, an enthusiast. He met me this way. He met me with a business, and it was a totally different business. And whether it went where I wanted to or not, he's always seen me be a dreamer. And so with me being a dreamer, the thing that made it conflictable is that now we've also put this child into it. And he supports my dream. He supports me. He supports my child. But he has to also remind me sometimes, like, yeah, you work towards this future goal, but how far that future is, you may never know. Like, for some people, it could be 2-3 years. For some people, it may be 5 to 10. Just remember, we're here. And if you miss us, you could wake up one day and your son be 12 or 13 years old. And you're like, oh yeah, I finally achieved, you know, said thing that I've been working for and hustling for my whole life. But he may not even care about that. All he wanted was his mother from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And all I wanted was my wife. Like, I need you to be present. I'm not asking for you to stop your dreams, but sometimes just stop and take a minute to smell the roses. Word. Like, remember that we're here. Like, remember that we're all breathing, and whatever time you're losing right now, you'll never get it
Word.
Back. You can always get, you know, you can stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning. You can stay up and, you know, work all week. You can always be on your computer, but take those moments to bond with your son.
You can always get more money, but you cannot get more time.
You never get your time. And that's the big, yeah. And that was the thing. And it took me, I'd say probably like up until this most recent year, especially like our most successful, like converting year, which is 2020, for me to really realize what he meant. And we have a 3-year-old who you know, they'll say, oh, you know, boys love their moms the most and da da da. And I'm not saying that my son doesn't, but he gravitates to his father first often because he has positive, like, he's going to play with me. He's going to sit with me. And I'm like, okay, I can do that for a few minutes, but look, mommy really has to get back to finishing X because, like I said before, we are the catch-all fall-all. So on my weekends, which would be my normal off days where you think, oh yeah, that's what she can just work. No, my husband's not off on those days. So I'm doing so many things on the clock that are also crossing over my off time that are into my nights and weekends that it's like I am just a workhorse and a workaholic, really. And as I go into this year, I'm like, I ain't gonna do that no more. Like, I gotta get me back. I gotta, you know, get myself back.
To the wellness, me. Doing them nails, getting them eyebrows done, buying clothes, not wearing the same thing, getting your hair done, like all of those things that we
you have to do it for yourself.
We take for granted. Exactly. You have to exactly do it for that. Esthetician, all that stuff we was talking about, like doing all of those things for yourself.
And it rolls over into your relationships too, to be quite right. honest, because it's like, you know, you want to feel desirable and you want to be desirable. And it's like, you know, you just run around at the bonnet all the time and you working like, you know, it'd be 48 hours. You've been on your computer for 48 hours. Have you thought it might be a little time for a little sprinkle of water? Like, you know, you need to go do a little extra. You're like so like into it that you look up and you're like, oh yeah, I do go back to work tomorrow. It was just Friday. You know what I mean? And you're like, clock out. So you have to like segment yourself.
So which brings me to my final question. My final question. So, we've got about 2 minutes, but how are you taking care of you? Right. We always got a mommy. We got a mommy while black, like we said, and there's no off switch. So how are you taking care of you? What does self-care look like this, you know, so far this year?
This year is probably better than ever. I think 2020 was probably the worst it's ever been. You know, from a, you know, watching what you eat, actually like taking the time to have some physical exercise. I lost hair last year. I had a lot of stress. I gained weight. I had like high sugar. Like there was just a lot of like stuff happening with me. And I could feel it, but I didn't really know it until I had to like be like, okay, something's a little off, and actually go like do my labs and stuff. And I'm like, I really am working myself to death. This is not good. And obviously, I'm passionate about it, and you know, whatever. But you have to take care of you. So as of 2021, my really like mind opening point was three things that happened this year. One was my aunt passed. And she has been struggling. Thank you. She has been struggling with ovarian cancer for the last year and a half. And to know that my busiest season, which was also my most successful, where people saw the most of me, where I was also worked the hardest, was like the period in the season. This would be like December. That was my time to bond with her. And I was completely unconnected because I just could not, like, it was just a constant rat race of, you know, I gotta get this out, I gotta check in with this, you know, factory, I gotta get these, you know, deliveries out. No one realizes that most of that was me and, you know, said few select family members folding their pajamas, tagging them, making sure that things were right, that we were following up with the factory that wasn't on time, that, you know, so when people were disappointed, that disappointment was exemplified for me because I was the one driving the ship the whole time, almost solely alone. So while I was doing that, time passed me. And when I found out she couldn't speak anymore, I had just talked to her right before Thanksgiving. So for me to miss the whole month of December and we're reconnecting in January, like, hey, happy new year to you. And I'm like, no response. And I'm like, what's going on? And I showed up, like, well, she can't speak anymore. So when she died in February, it was like her last few weeks, I sat there with her every day. And I would take my work computer and I'd take whatever and I'd give her all of her time. And I'd be like, hey, you know, auntie, I got to work, but I'm here. And I would just talk to her. Like, guess who said this in this email? I got this email, you know, they got the audacity to say, you know, just so I'm talking to her. But I just like realized how much time I wasted that I, like how you said, you can't get it back. She got, you know, she passed. And it put it into real life for me. And then the winter storm happened and shut down everything. Everything I thought I had going on, everything literally froze. Literally and figuratively here in Houston, you know, and And coming back from that, I sat back and I thought, like, man, there's been two really hard blows to me. What in life am I missing? What's most important? And what am I about to focus myself on? And I said, I got to make a shift, because if everything is relying on this, look how many, you know, things that my life has hinted that everything can't just be in this. You've got to be able to spread this around. And so, yeah, it's different for me now. But now 2021 is all about Tony. It's all about enriching myself and everything else. We find somebody that's a specialist, or, you know, we figure out how to triage it to another day, but it will still work because the brand has been built, and I can't give it everything that I did. I have to give myself more, and my family, my son, and my husband too. My life.
I love that triage it to another day. And that piece that you just said about, you know, you've got to give more to your life, like to yourself. And that resonates with me in so many different ways. And I graduated from Arizona State Law School in 2015. But in 2013, I was supposed to go home to New Orleans for the holidays. And I decided to stay in Phoenix because I needed to do a brief, Know Thyself. So I needed to turn in a brief, and we had gotten an extension to turn it in after the beginning of the new year. And I just was like, if I go home in New Orleans, realistically, I'm not going to get it done. It was like due January 2nd or the 3rd. And I was like, I got to get it done. And I did not go home. And I was like, I'll go home in March when my brother's getting married. Brother was coming down from New York. He's getting married. And a week before the wedding, a week on the dot before the wedding, my dad passed away. And I was like, you don't get that time back. You don't get that. And at that time, I didn't have a child, but my work was school. I was juggling things going on with my family. I was in a relationship, you know, with my child's father. And I felt like I was doing all of these things. Every time some crisis happens, you know, I got to fix it. My family's expecting me to fix it. Like all of these different things. And I just was feeling like there just wasn't enough of me to go around for anything, right, let alone myself. And then my dad passed. And it was just like, I said to myself that I was never going to put a job for, you know, above my family.
Yep.
And so I was like, I'm not, you know, so when I hear that, and again, I'm definitely sorry to hear about your aunt.
Sorry about your dad. Damn.
You don't get that time back. Like your husband said, like Corey said, that time is gone. Like you have to be present right now. Like, we've been sitting here on this podcast, and you know, the time that we've been on here, we've talked to them, but we've not been present, you know, 100% with them. And we're never going to get those seconds back, those minutes back. It's gone.
Yep.
It's just gone. And even though it might not seem like anything, they grew older in 30 minutes, you know, like it doesn't seem like anything, but it's true. And we'll never get that time back. And so it's just like, I am learning, and I appreciate, you know, the gems that you've passed along of just, you know, being present for your own life, for your family, you know, being more present for my son. I love pictures, which is why Instagram social media just spoke to me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until last year I posted any pictures of my child. I didn't post any pictures of my child the first 3 years of his life.
Wow.
Nothing. And I felt like I had so much to be thankful for in 2020 in a pandemic when people were losing their lives. But I was like, you know what? I shared that piece of myself with others. And that being said, last year was the year that I took the least amount of pictures. Not because it was a pandemic. I didn't go nowhere hardly the first year that he was born because, like, you know, I wasn't taking him around anybody. He doesn't get vaccinated.
Right.
And so I still took a ton of pictures, but I had said to myself at the beginning of 2020 that one of my things was to be present.
Yeah.
And so I can sit there and I can try to capture moments and take pictures, but then I'm missing being in the moment.
Yeah.
I'm missing enjoying that time. So now I'm more about, let me sit there and do that. And so thank you so much for just giving us, like, your time all day. Essentially, thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. And
Thank you for coming on Mommy and Why Black. And of course, you know, we'll continue to have play dates with the boys and stuff. I think that's, you know, that's a wrap for right now. Unless there's, you know, anything else you want to add to it.
No, I just really appreciate you on bringing me on here. Like, we've definitely weathered the storm, today. And, you know, it's so crazy, like, being on a podcast and being asked questions, because you're like, oh, I really want to answer like this. You know, it's not like an essay where you can write in, because it's like literally like on the spot. And I'm sure there's things that I wish I would have said or said better or said more of. But, you know, it's real. So like she said before, it's Tony by Tony. Y'all can reach us on Instagram at Tony with a Y by Tony with the I.com. It's the same thing for our website, www.TonyWithAY by TonyWithAI.com. And I'm Tony with an I. So I'm normally responding to your DMs and your customer service emails. That's why the 100% customer service is so great, because it's mostly me
impeccable.
Doing it all. But thank you all, like, you know, for listening to a little bit of what I had to say today. And thank you so much, Latiqua, AKALT, Mommy and Wild Black. And our boys bonded and hit it off so well today. So it's been a great day of bonding, sisterhood, sistership. And
yes,
I look forward to coming back again. Yes. So call me.
All right, everybody, say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.